Well, hello again, George Hofford, with a good friend, Bob Sotis. What a story! He and I were talking off air, and what a great person, what a great leader, and what a great human being, a great Christian. I'm just so excited to have Bob. And Bob, I've got a tough assignment today. Not because of interviewing you, is I got to be quiet. My job is to listen to you.
That's okay, George. First of all, let me say I appreciate all the years that you've given to our community.
Thank you.
I know this is not about you, as we have
it
talked.
It can't be about
But me. You know what? God is good to us, and you've been good. You've been a great leader for us.
Well, thank you. Providentially, and you know me, I'm a person of faith. Didn't share that a lot growing up.
Sure.
The way I should have. But this was providential. I'm here, and we're going to talk about you and your providential things. But I'm blessed to be here, and blessed to this is home. So
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yes,
Amen.
Sir.
Let's go.
All right.
Here's the rules. You're going to start at birth.
Okay. Oh, Lord help us.
We're going to start at birth. Go on. Don't spend all day in high school, but get on through there and talk about growing up and your passions and your family and your friends and just anything's on your heart. And we'll just go from there.
Let's go. Hey, we can do that. And I'm old. I'm getting old like you. We're getting up there. I'll be 65 this week.
That's a young pup still.
Yeah, whatever. That's when they send you that little card that's red and blue.
It's not all bad.
It's not all bad.
No.
Well, I was one of those boys. From some of you guys around here, I was born in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow.
And okay. From that point forward, I grew up in an Italian family.
Yeah.
I was raised Catholic.
Okay, good,
so,
sure.
If you talk about something that was hard, I was raised Catholic. I was taught how to work.
Yep.
My grandfather came over on Ellis Island in 1913.
Oh, man.
Yep, he owned a typewriter store on the corner of Nassau and Wall Street for many years, till I was in high school, 1977. And I delivered typewriters for my grandpa, my dad, and his brother. And we were right around the corner from City Hall there, and we did a lot of stuff. I learned how to use my hands, how to take equipment apart, and a lot of customer service. I was very good at going into offices as a young boy, delivering a typewriter, picking
Man,
up a little.
Man, you got on-the-job training as a young person.
I actually would ride the bus to what was called King's Highway in New York, take the train myself, because I didn't want to go to work with my dad at 6 in the morning, and then walk up to the store. So I was seasoned quite early.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
I was taught that it was very important to work, and if you wanted to have something, you had to work. When I was about 6 years old, my parents got a divorce.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that was sad. My mama moved to the great state of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where there's a lot of information about Pittsburgh right now out there.
Great city.
Great. Yeah. It's a great – Pittsburgh's a great
New
town.
New York's a great city.
Yeah. New York is too. It's a little – it's shady right now. But, it's funny because as my story progresses, I currently live on a farm with – horses and dogs, chickens and goats. So I went from
you went the other way.
Yeah, I went from living with pizza slices of pizza to living on a farm. But
that's great.
My parents divorced. I went with my mom for a while to Pittsburgh. I learned about the big state of Pittsburgh or city of Pittsburgh and the Steelers. I'm a big Steeler fan.
Oh yeah,
Steel
Curtain.
Steeler Nation's everywhere. So I did that with my parent with my. With my mom, she happened to marry George, a man once she got there, who became a really close dad to me.
Yeah, good.
He would be my stepdad.
Yeah.
He was public relations director for Pepsi Cola.
Wow.
In the city of Pittsburgh.
That's
He also, laughingly enough, he was a stand up comic. So he did like a vaudeville type.
That's where
act.
You got your stuff.
Well, he was very good at public relations, kind of like you are. You and I have never met a stranger.
Yeah, we have fun.
Yeah, we do. We talk
just
to anybody,
fun. And we got paid for it.
Yeah, and really, that's kind of where my giftings go today. Yeah. So I learned that type of interaction. As I got older, my real dad wanted to move to Atlanta. Well, he wanted me to go with him.
I see.
So I went to Atlanta with him. I got down there. You know, I went to high school, did all those things, played sports, played basketball, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to the University of Georgia.
Okay, sure.
I'm an old Bulldog alumni.
Nothing wrong with that, buddy.
And then my real dad had owned a couple restaurants in what was called the Omni International.
Sure.
Or CNN Center.
Sure.
At the time. I went with him. He asked me to quit college and come to work, which they needed, obviously, honest people around to watch over the money. We were down there during those Wayne Williams times. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember that,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Pretty tough time.
Yeah, it was sad for the city of Atlanta. It really was sad. So I kind of did that for many years. I had some partners. We had opened up some pizza shops in town. And then, quite honestly, I was addicted to smoking a lot of pot.
Yeah.
I smoked a lot of pot and ate
epidemic,
a lot of
bags. Epidemic.
Yeah, and then. I didn't pay attention. So I had lost the businesses. I think I lost three in 2 years.
Man.
One on each exit. I lost my house. But in the meantime, I had met this girl at what was called Botter Fashion College, who happened to live in Baxter, Tennessee.
No.
Yeah.
That's
so,
providential. Yeah, too. We're going to get to providential in a minute.
That's
yeah.
something. So, and then I met her, and we've been married for 36, I don't know.
God bless you. Isn't that
how
wonderful?
Many years? That's great. Yeah. She should have killed me a long time ago.
I know. Murder.
But it's
somebody
okay.
said you divorced. No, but
yeah,
murder
yeah,
was
murder,
on the table.
Yeah. I can remember moving up here. There was a point where I knew I had to get away from the drugs.
I understand.
I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I never really got in trouble. I never went to jail or anything.
But you
like
could
that.
See yourself. Yeah, you were.
When you can't eat because you have to smoke pot, there's a problem.
Nope. Yeah. Sure.
So
sure.
I was just like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. I thought I need to get away from this stuff. I turned the keys over to my partner, which is City of Atlanta really liked our partnership. You can take that for how I just said it, but I was done with it. And I came up here. I had met her. She promised me if I stayed clean for a year, she would marry me. We
wow.
got married. I actually got married at St. Thomas Aquinas Church right there on Washington.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh.
Not,
1980,
oh, I, your,
I don't
close,
care.
Close
1988,
close.
I think.
Right, there you go.
But I moved up here. All I had left in my name was $4,500.
Yeah.
I had a pizza oven.
There you go.
And I came to work, and a guy named I came up here, and I went to work for Shoney's for 1 week. I didn't like it. It was moving too slow for
too
me.
Too slow, sure.
So I took the oven, and there was a lady named Gladys Owens. I don't know if you know who that was.
No.
Okay.
No.
Her husband, Jess, owned the Pepsi-Cola plant for years here.
Okay.
She owned the strip where there was a popcorn place, Mexican place where Big O Donuts used to be.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I know where that is.
Miss
yeah.
Owens used to own all that.
Yeah.
Miss Owens liked me. I said, Miss Gladys, can I rent that building? Yes, Bob, you can. So I can remember what I did. I took the money that I had, the pizza oven, and I went to some auctions. I met Joe Wilmuth, and I met Miner Stover,
yeah.
who was Tommy and Timmy's dad.
Okay.
And I bought some restaurant equipment, and I opened up a pizza shop.
In the 80s.
In
late
the 80s. It was called, back then, it was called Hungry Herman's.
Hungry after that's great.
It did great. There was the man that owned Big O Donuts at the time. His name was Ron Clements. Kenny was his son. He was a police officer, Cookeville City police officer for years. We were buddies, but Ron came to me one time and said, "Do you want to sell the pizza shop?" I said, "Sure, not a problem." And they gave me some pretty good money, and I took that money. At the time, and I moved over to up on 7th Street closer to the college, and we opened up a 50s diner that was called Happy Days.
Okay.
That first diner was it's at the corner of 7th and Cedar.
Okay, yes.
We opened up a little hamburger milkshake. We did black and white tile floors. We had built it out, my wife and I and her grandparents. We all built this out, and we had done some business, and it just this the college over in the summertime, it was tough.
Oh, yeah.
It was tough.
Dried up.
It dries up. So we had the opportunity to move out on Jefferson.
Okay.
There used to be an old 7-Eleven out there.
Okay.
We had this thought process. We'll move out there to move Happy Days out there. And there was a double-fronted store. It was an old 7-Eleven. It's kind of out, not in front of Big Lots, but to the right.
Yeah, okay.
McWilliams Complex, I think it's called today. And they tore that building down, probably needed to, but they tore that building down. And we opened up two restaurants.
Okay.
We opened up Happy Days on one side and Anthony's Italian Restaurant on the other
Anthony's,
side.
Anthony's, yeah.
We had one kitchen.
Serving both restaurants.
So we served both restaurants. It was okay.
Warp.
I mean, it was tough.
Warp.
It was tough on me because I did all the cooking. Well, back then, liquor by the drink came in.
About that time, okay.
About that time. Jimbo Shipley came to me and he said, "You don't want to miss this opportunity."
Okay.
Which at that point it was true. We applied for our license. I think back then we were the seventh licensee, and it was night and day. It's why we have the restaurants we have today.
Yeah.
Without liquor by the drink, it was just part of what went on. So obviously we kind of gravitated towards selling alcoholic beverages versus food.
Well, sure.
Because you just
percentage had to be
51%.
So you still had to sell food.
Yeah, right. But that's kind of how they went with that. So we did that for 8 or 9 years. And we had the opportunity actually to move right up here, right down the road from where we are right now, where it's not Petrie Heating and Cooling now, but it's something I forget. Yeah. Mr. Hall had owned the old Corral building for you old timers around here. And we took that building. The chamber wasn't actually viable yet. It was right before the chamber.
We were down on Jefferson.
Yeah. So what happened was is we
– Go ahead.
What happened was is Eldon Leslie would come by, and we started doing the chamber's work. We would do all the business after hours
there.
That's
great.
So we created this expo-type center there, and then we ran a little lounge. Yeah. We ran a little lounge next to it. And then it continued on. And then – the Lord convicted me one day, and I got saved.
So, wow.
And I understand we're going to a break.
We will pretty soon. This is going to be a great point. But Eldon Leslie told me that the way it was sold, it was a restaurant tax, where they come. And I have been involved in Jackson, Tennessee. And it was one of the – and being Baptist and being an usher at the First Baptist Church when that was going on, it was one of the most good people – on both sides but you couldn't have restaurants and economic development without that. Man, we're just getting started, buddy. We'll be back in a few seconds and we'll go. George Alford with Bob Sodas talking old times. Alford with Bob Sodas. This is really getting good, Bob. You have you've grown up in New York Catholic. You married a Baxter. I'm gonna say girl, but you met her in Atlanta.
Yep.
And entrepreneur, restaurateur, come down here, and a little bit like Paul on the way to Damascus, maybe, but you had a providential experience here.
I did. Actually right up the road here.
So let's pick up there and talk about then and how you found the Lord.
I have always loved Jesus. Catholics were really good.
That is not a right way to say
it.
That.
I get it.
How you rediscovered.
Yeah. Well, how I built that relationship.
Yes.
With him.
Yes.
Because today I get to use my gifts and talents in a different world, which is a lot. It's a lot of fun. What I get to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, as the story rambles on, Pastor Eddie and Pastor Bob and that team, Pastor Mike, Pastor Richard in particular, they took a liking to me. They would come in, they'd hang out. Happy days years ago, they would eat with me. And they loved me all the way through. Well, we became
unconditional friends.
And you know, one thing has nothing to do with that. First of all, I never drank. I never did.
Okay.
I was a pothead. But I sold alcohol back then. It was just kind of what you had to do. I'm just trying to feed my family.
I get that.
And they always were my friends as we worked through as we went forward. Well, one day I was with Pastor Bob, and I said the salvation prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And literally, I burned twice, George. I felt the fire go over me once, and I guess I was such a heathen that it burned again. And I just thought to myself, I can't do this anymore.
Amen.
So I would have we would have events out here at the Expo Center, and I would ask God, "God, you're going to have to take this away. I owed the money on the building. I had to pay the banks." I said, "Please have something come by to take care of this." Well, I'd got a call one day for somebody to buy it. And I let it go.
That's wonderful.
I just walked away with it.
What year was that roughly? It doesn't matter.
Oh,
right?
Somewhere in the 90s.
Okay. 98, I came here in 04 and you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It had been right after they built the chamber building.
That was 03, 04 is when they built the. No, 02, 03.
Yeah. Yeah. So what happened? Well, we used to do all the chambers work. We'd get all the big parties.
You had all the small
business. I did it all.
Oh, man. You had a lot.
Yeah. I did all that stuff.
That's great.
And Eldon would come out there. And actually, if you look at the size of the main part of the chamber, it's the same size as my building was out there.
I got you.
So they kind of modeled it, which that was fine. I mean, I had opportunities to go there, but it's hard to compete as a businessman with tax dollars.
Oh,
because y'all
no,
got the better stuff.
Well, there's certain things that, you know, it's public private, and to draw business and conventions and stuff.
It
it's
nice.
A different.
I get it.
But some things you can't compete with.
Yeah. So what happened was,
but you were smart enough to realize
that's okay. Hey, God's good to me. God had a plan. So I went out there. I would ask God to sell the building. Well, I got a phone call one day from a local business person. I won't say who it is. He says, "Sotis, you want to sell your building?" I said, "Yes, sir."
Let's go.
Yes, sir. Well, I did that, which was great. It blessed my family. I was able to take care of our farm, pay the farm off. Funny thing is, I started selling horses on the internet.
Wow.
I had this, my daughter showed walking
horses. Now you're
a horse trader.
Trader. George Hoffer with Bob Sotis. I'm already supposed to do that, but we're just having a big time here on Local Matters. Bob, let's go back to your horse trading.
Oh, you need a horse? No. So no. Back then, I had this, and my daughter showed walking horses. So we had this we had this plan that we were going to try to use the farm to earn a living, and we would bring horses in, and we'd clean them up. We'd make sure they rode good and so on and so forth. And I sold them all over the internet. I sold them all over the world. I sold them to Spain, Mexico, Canada.
That's the positive thing about the internet.
Yeah,
it opened up for small business.
Yep.
You had a world market.
Yeah, and I guaranteed them. If you didn't like it, you could return the horse. And long as you paid the shipping, I would sell them. I mean, I sold 50 in 1 year, and people go, "Are you crazy?" I go, "Yeah, probably.
Probably, but that's
probably."
Okay.
And when you brought this up earlier, and then I had a friend who was, he was in trouble, so I helped him open up a restaurant, a small little restaurant, all good. And old Phyllis Bennett came to me one day.
Oh, I love Phyllis.
I'm just telling
you. Oh, yeah.
Phyllis Bennett came to me one day, and she said, "Hey, will you come teach a class for us at
Lakeside.
UCHRA?" Well, it was at it's for UCHRA through Tennessee Tech. And I went up to Dr. Elkins.
Susan, yeah.
Miss Elkins. She said, "Bob, we want you to do this." I said, "Well, Dr. Elkins, I never graduated college. I have 3 years at the University of Georgia." She said, "It's okay.
I was adjunct.
I said, "I don't want to teach this class unless," now remind you, I got saved in the meantime.
Way to reach people.
I said, "Unless I can use it as a ministry." And she looked at me, Dr. Elkins looked at me, and she just said, "Bob, you do whatever you want."
Doggone right.
So what happened was is all these kids, and they're not kids because some were adults that were in workforce development program there down at UCHRA, would come through. So I'd have 18 kids in my class. Well, what I did was I taught them how to write resumes.
Yeah, you taught them business.
I would take them, we'd all get haircuts together. I cleaned them up. I told them how to work. I mean, some of our projects would be, "Let's load in the vans. We're going to apply for jobs today."
Wow.
And so I tried to teach them practical application. I mean, we did teach it. The course was like resort management,
food service, safety, and catering. Yeah.
But in essence, what we did was we learned how to be real people.
Yeah.
And actually, I still have some connections today.
They're great. Yeah.
And it was great. And during that time frame, I would help at Trinity all the time. I'd be doing stuff, plugging in, working. Pastor Bobby Davis and I became good friends.
Sure.
Anything he needed over at Chi Alpha, I'd be over there. We'd be helping. And then one day, towards the end, we had an opportunity. Lakeside came to me to actually run the resort.
Yes, that's when I came here and got involved at Lakeside Resort with you.
I was trying to bail them out of trouble. They were in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I think I was the closest of running it to ever making any money. It's a great place, but if you learn about hotels, which you guys do this all the time,
a little bit, man.
You understand how it works. When after all that, and I was trying real hard, we had an opportunity. I had met some people. I put the feelers out there, and the Timothy Hill Ranch people mm-hmm. out of New York mm-hmm. came in and bought it with the help of Jack Stites from J&S Construction.
Certainly.
Jack was very instrumental in some of that, and we handed it off. It needed to go to somebody else's hands.
Working in addiction?
They kind of do that. And it was great. They've done a great job.
You guys at Lakeside were placing people left and right. Once they got trained,
we did.
They got jobs.
We did. Actually, Actually, we did.
It was a great idea.
Yeah, and it. I was actually. We were headed down the path of teaching for the state. I forgot the lady's name through workforce development, and we were headed down the path of teaching everybody in the state. But at that point, it was time to hand it off and for me to go. And that opened up the opportunity to how I do ministry today.
You just timed that just about right.
Like a professional.
Well, you are a professional. Yeah. We got a few more seconds this segment, but then we're going to come back and talk about you today, and then let's talk about the future.
Sure.
Where is God leading you, your family, and where he's leading? But, man, I've learned so much. I've always liked you. We've been friends, but I didn't know. I knew a little of the history, but really didn't know how God planted you here. Bloom where you're planted.
Amen.
And God has planted you there. Yes, we'll stop this segment and be back very soon. George Hallford with Bob Sotis, back soon. Welcome back, George Hallford, Bob Sotis, on a journey, the different but uncommon life, Bob. God has blessed you. Now we're going to talk about, there was Lakeside and there was a transition, and then you were working doing more with Life Church.
Yes, sir.
So pick me up and take me on.
Oh, here we go. Get on the back of the horse.
Here we go. I'm ready.
I
can ride for a little while.
Put, as they would say, put them on the line and let's go, boys. Let's have us a show. Well, funny thing is, I always say this a lot, George. Our giftings are the same. God gives us the giftings. It's a matter of where you use them.
Yes, so, yes, yes.
Yes. In the old times, I used it in the secular world. Today, I get to use my giftings in the kingdom. So what happened was Pastor Bob came to me and he said, "Hey, would you like to work here?" And I was like, "I'm going to take a pay cut."
Yeah.
And he was like, "But you have the Lord." And, you know, a businessman, I'm going, "I'm going to take a pay cut." But anyway, I love.
How many years ago is it?
I've been on staff full time 16 years. I don't know.
Has it been? God, yeah. See, I just lose track.
And I love Pastor Bobby.
Jennifer.
I take a bullet for him. So, you know, I watch out. It's okay, though. But anyway.
What a great story of God and faith. And
yeah. Yeah.
There's the whole thing about. In psychology, I forgot which psychologist said only the wounded physician can heal.
Sure,
and he's ordained.
Sure.
I mean, he is anointed.
Yeah, he's definitely.
And
anointed.
You're anointed.
Oh, so I don't know. I just get to ride the coattails sometimes.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
God's good to me, so I don't care. So, so I had that opportunity, and then one of my passions at a younger age was I really love youth. I've always been helping. I coached at Avery Trace Middle School for 25 years. Me and Coach Fox, Winningham.
No.
Oh, yeah. Jeff Comer. We all hung out together for years. And those men taught me a lot of stuff about kids. I love kids. I think if we can change the kids, we took one to lunch today. That's why I couldn't eat with you today.
That's perfect.
We took a young 17-year-old boy to lunch today. But if we can change the generation before us.
One at a time.
Yeah, we can change them ahead. So I did a lot of that type of stuff. So I always worked with the youth. As I got older, I started to realize I can't keep up. I drove buses.
I would go on
overnight trips to Florida with them. I would take them. I would do all kind of stuff. As the Lord changed my heart, Pastor Bob, it was in Pastor Bobby's vision for me to take care of our seniors. So one of the things I do at the church today, currently.
Good, then you take care of me.
I do. I take care of my senior saints.
You do. Okay.
Well, I mean, it's okay.
I need all the help I can get.
Yeah, every Tuesday, part of Pastor Bob's heart was every Tuesday at 12 o'clock, we serve lunch. Sometimes I give a message. Sometimes somebody else gives a message. We kind of all hang out together.
Yeah.
So I've always got to do senior life and things like that. But I've done all the event planning. As we're getting bigger, it's kind of hard to do everything.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, so they've kind of compartmentalized some of us up a little bit. And now one of my roles is community outreach, which probably at first, obviously, I probably went, "What are y'all talking about?"
No, it's what you.
But I have fun with it.
And it's what you do. It's what you've done all your whole life.
Yeah, I don't even know it. But
you're doing it without realizing.
Right. Pastor Bob saw the gift. I didn't see it. So. As you walk through that, and we talked a little bit about salvation, you know as well as I know, there's been a lot of stuff that's happened to me in the last year or so, or last couple of years.
Yes.
Probably. My wife obviously battled cancer.
Yes.
She battled breast cancer, went through all kind of chemo. 2 years later, find out she now had leukemia.
Okay.
2 years of leukemia. I mean, chemo-induced leukemia. And that's what they call it. And then she apparently carried a special chromosome. When we walked into the office that day, and this is over 2 years ago, they said, "You have 3 weeks to 3 months to live." And ooh. I was like, "Oh my Lord Jesus. Okay, God." Okay. I mean,
here
my,
we go.
My wife has got this down better than I did.
Cause, I understand.
Cause all, I mean, I had a sermon yesterday, to my seniors about what would you write to God in a letter. Well, the first thing I would write is, "What the heck have you done?" you know,
that's right.
What's going on, Lord? I've watched my wife walk through this transition. I've been by her side. There's been people in our community have helped us with
it.
You know, people let us use their houses. People let us, you know, probably gave us money. Different doctors,
whatever
it needed.
Yeah.
And as we progress down through there, what you learn is your faith. Where are we going with this, guys? What's really important? And what you learn is your love for the Lord is very important. For me, I wake up every morning and you're going to laugh, but I watch Joyce Meyer.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I do.
I don't
want to rot my brain with any news or anything.
That negative stuff.
I can't do it. And then I read my Bible. I read my Bible every day. I was at a pastoral thing at Washington Avenue Baptist. Preacher God down there, a great man of God. They had a guy named, I think his name was Randy Gaines. He was in speaking to us, and he challenged us as pastors to read your word every day.
Amen.
Because there's a lot of people that don't read their word every day and do that before you do anything. Well, I got in that habit. That was probably about 5 or 6 years ago. It's been the best thing that ever happened. I don't care. There's no excuse not to read your Bible.
Amen.
And you've sat in enough of our services.
I'm doing
Pastor
it.
Bob says, read your Bible. Don't even listen to me. Read your Bible. And it's very important to read our Bible. And I've learned through the times that's what's going to help me.
It's the Word.
It's just the Word. I mean,
the Word became flesh.
As we get older, George is preaching.
I'm not going to call for the offering.
as we got older, and you know, we have to go through more testing and stuff
that.
I had a test the other day. And, you know, my first reaction is, why, God, why? And then I went to, you know, Philippians 4:13. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
I started with the Lord. I went to old Catholicism. I said, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know,
amen.
I started praying, and the peace of the Lord will
why
come
not?
You.
You know, not why, but why not?
Yeah, and the peace of the Lord. And today, as we talked about earlier, I get to help the kingdom. I get to do things in our community. We get to help people. We get to help organizations. Sometimes Pastor Bob has these great visions of, let's give this away. And he'll look at me and he goes, "Can you do that?" I said, "Yes, sir, I can do that." And we get to bless other churches. We get to bless other people. We get to bless other orphanages. Sometimes, quite honestly, I feel like I'm Santa Claus when I walk in a room.
Yeah,
they're like, thank God Pastor Bob's here. Pastor Bob Sotis is here. He's going to bless us with something. You know, and Life Church has that ability. And I know people fuss sometimes because we're a big church. We can do things that little churches can't do. Matter of fact, at Easter, if you saw the Dollar Club at Easter, we gave away $100,000 to 10 different churches in our community.
We have a community of faith here that I have never seen in my life.
Yes.
And this is home. If I were sitting on your side of the microphones here, I could tell you some stories about community. There's the community of faith, but just this whole community of people who care.
Sure.
And where life, and so we're blessed. This is home. I thank God he brought me here.
Yeah. Pastor Bobby was very good at teaching me when I was a little younger and probably still green and crossing from the business world, secular world over to go in blessing, make sure you're blessing people, and to follow my heart.
Amen.
Because I know that down deep inside, if you do the right thing, and it biblically lines up, obviously you can't be off the beaten path, but just you do what's right. He said, and it'll be okay. God's going to take care of you. And then to know that you have someone like Pastor Bobby who's got your back, then God's good. You know, we can conquer the world. And that's how it works.
Let me do a quick commercial for Dr. Tony Hudson.
Oh, Dr. Hudson. Friend. He's a great guy.
I could go 30 minutes on Dr. Hudson.
He's got great kids, too.
Super, super. But he told me here a year or so ago, he said, I was telling him about, well, you know, I keep getting this, I need to call so-and-so. He said, George, when you get that kind of,
yes,
that's God, very that's good. The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Go out there and do
yes,
that.
Yes.
So learning lessons in life like you've learned about the Holy Spirit, about the community of faith, about all these things. It's who we are.
Yes, sir.
It's who this region is.
Yes.
And this is not a faith based show, but everything's a faith based show as far as we're concerned.
Well, I live it. I know you do too.
Well, I try.
I know, and I know it before. You kind of walked in a different world, and it's kind of hard in those times. But and I get that.
I didn't share my faith
right
like I should have.
Right.
Not that you have to be out on a – no, but it was just one of those quiet, I hope I live to the point that people – but no, it's taken me to a new level.
Right.
But this is not about me. I told you, we're going to talk about –
No, I won't talk about
God
you.
God can use you. God can use anybody. Amazing when you say, Lord, here am I, send me.
Sure, and the Bible says we're drawn to light. So
Go
to the light, and that's what we do. I mean, and you've done that for years. You've always been a light. When you walk in a room, people are happy to see you.
Thank you. But who was that? The Roots guy told Lamar Alexander, he said, find the good and praise it.
Amen.
Find the good and praise it. God is good.
Sure.
Life is good. People are good.
So we have to be careful because we tend to want to go to the negative on things.
Yes, and it's so easy.
I mean, you and I wake up in the morning, what's the first thing we say? Oh, our back hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a form of complaining. We have
but
to go, oh, praise God, I'm awake.
It's a mystery and the gift of life.
Yes.
I'm learning that late in life, that gratitude.
Sure.
Thankfulness.
Sure.
So, amen, brother. Preach on. We've got about a minute left. I'm going to be quiet.
You can't be quiet.
I know. I'm trying.
God's good.
Let's just continue along. Where are you going in the future with God's guidance and help?
I grow closer to God every day. I think the testings that I went through last week and stuff, what I've learned is it's up to Him. I'll be fine. And if we were to cross over to the other side tomorrow,
amen. We're in.
I hear it's better.
We're in eternity now.
Yeah,
it starts.
The joke is the streets are lined with gold, so God must have been a Steeler fan. So I'm not very sure. which is fine.
And you know, humor, not losing your sense of humor,
yes.
Learning to laugh.
And, yep.
And man, this is just. I've had too much fun, but I'll get over it.
You get paid for it, too.
No, really. Sorry. I get paid another way.
Free donuts.
Something. God bless you, my friend. What a journey.
I love you, George.
Love
You're
you
a good
too.
Man. Thank
George
you.
Alford with Bob Sotis. Y'all have a great, great week.
See you. Bye.
Bye.